Listen carefully to what Jesus says. We'll pick it up verse 25. Matthew 6 from verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The Gentiles seek after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I mean, how relevant is the Bible? Don't you think it's relevant? Let's ask Jesus to understand these things. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure not a person here this morning read those words and thought, well, this doesn't affect me. Please, come now, Lord Jesus. You who said these things, come and explain them to us. Come and open our hearts. Show us what is true. We worry. We worry a lot. Come, be our therapist. Show us the truth. Heal our hearts. Because you are loving and kind. Amen. So obviously this morning, we're going to be talking about worry. Obviously, this is what Jesus is talking about. And no matter where you go in the world, there are always very good reasons to worry. I can always think of a good reason to worry. Always. Each and every country in the world has got different things to worry about. Well, at least that's my experience. Listen. I am an expert on worry. You do not need to worry about that. When I talk about worry, I know what I'm talking about. I've practiced it for a very long time. And wherever you go in the world, there are things to worry about. So let's talk about South Africa. You probably didn't pick up from my accent, but that's where I'm from. And I can tell you, in South Africa, there's things to worry about. Crime. Probably crime. Number one worry in South Africa is crime. South Africa has got the number one rape rate in the whole world. There is a higher rape rate in South Africa than in countries that are at war. It's a real massive worry. If you've got daughters, that's a worry right there. So you leave and you go to America, let's say. For example, you go live in America. Now your number one worry is not rape. It's gun violence. And so when I was living in the US, I know it's not like this everywhere, and this was a while back, I was living in the US. Everyone I worked with was packing a piece, you know. I worked in a motorbike shop, and if a dude bends down, you don't just see the plumber's valley. He bends down to fix a motorbike, and he's got a big gun and just stuffed in his pants. It was everywhere you go. And so you worry. There was a massive store. I don't know if they still look. I don't know. But it was called Winn-Dixie. And you'd go shopping. Which aisle's got the baked beans? And there's the gun aisles, just guns, like next to, you know, it's like, and you worry, so you want to drive carefully. You don't want to drive into some dude who gets out, loses his temper. He won't say a few bad words. You get shot. It's a real worry. So then you go live in Ireland. I lived in Ireland for a while in Dublin. And then I began, there's no guns. There's no, hardly any rape, you know. But then I began to worry, will I ever see the sun again? That was a real worry to me. You know, the reason why Ireland's so green is because it's moss. The country's underwater, you know. So where are you going to go? Well, you know where you should go. No worries, mate. You go to Australia because, oh man, there's a country with no worries at all. Comparatively speaking, there are no worries. Comparatively, rape, guns, rain, there's no rain, and you know, this is an awesome country. But you know what I find myself suddenly doing? I worry about the fact that there's no worries. I think that's quite a worry. And what happens is I start to think of teenagers. Is it good for you to have no worries? Imagine you raise children here and there's nothing to drive them. There's no challenges to rise up to, and they're bored and they're playing computer games and they're into entertainment. There's not a massive poverty problem to address. You know, there's no massive societal challenges, and they become bored and frustrated and directionless and unmotivated. There's nothing to fight for, and they become materialistic and they smash bus stops, you know. Having no worries is something to worry about. And you're thinking, gee, Dwayne, you really are a warrior, you know. I told you. Maybe you could try New Zealand. Well, the thing about New Zealand is I would worry that the rest of the world stops playing rugby, because then you are really irrelevant and they'll forget you exist. There's nothing. No, I'm teasing the Kiwis. Okay. Here's my point. Wherever you go, there is something to worry about. And no matter where you go, all you're doing is exchanging one set of worries for a different set of worries. Doesn't matter where you go, from one country to another. There is no country on earth without its worries. So, if you want to live a life without worry, you will have to live for a country that's not on this planet. Logically. If you want to live a life without worry, you will have to tie your hopes and dreams to a country that isn't here. Let's think about it another way. What is worry? Worry is that resultant emotion when your treasure is being threatened. Worry is what you feel when your treasure is being threatened. And when your treasure's in danger, whatever your treasure is, you will worry. So logically, store up your treasure where there's no danger, where nothing can threaten your treasure. And that's what we saw last week. Look at verse 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you want a heart free of worry? Because your heart, as you saw last week, will always follow your treasure. Then lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Your heart will follow it, and you'll be safe. If you tie your hopes and dreams to a country where there are no threats and there's no evil, and you live for that country, you will be free of worry. Here's how we could put it. Look on the outline. Look up on the PowerPoint. There are two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of self, and there is the kingdom of God. And no man, no woman can live for more than one kingdom. Look at what Jesus said as we finished up last week. Look at verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus says you can't love and serve God and you can't love and serve money at the same time. No one can live for more than one kingdom at a time. No one can live for more than one world at a time. But naturally, every single one of us are born to construct our own kingdoms. We all naturally are trying to build the kingdom of self. Doesn't matter where you go, America, Ireland, UK, South Africa, Australia, all you're looking for is a good place to resurrect your own kingdom, to build the kingdom of self. Whenever I start to worry, I realize I'm building my kingdom of self. And that's the point for this morning. Have a look at this. The kingdom of self produces warriors. But the kingdom of God produces warriors. And that's the logic driving through this passage. This is what Jesus is going to talk to us about. Jesus is going to say, I don't want you to worry. It was never my intention for my children to worry. But you have to stop living for your own kingdom. As long as you live for your own kingdom, you're going to worry. And so the whole thing is summarized for us in verse 33. Look at what Jesus says in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. These other things will be added to you. Jesus is asking everyone here this morning, you need to immigrate. You need to immigrate. You need to leave the kingdom of self and seek the kingdom of God. That's the only place where there are no worries, mate. No worries. So we're going to contrast these two kingdoms, and Jesus will do it for us. And here's the first point for this morning. The kingdom of self produces warriors. Number one, you worry about physical needs. When the kingdom of self is your focus, you will worry about physical needs. Look at verse 25. We pick it up in 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Wow. Jesus goes straight to essentials, not luxuries. Do not worry if you don't get a red Ferrari before you're 35. That's not what he's saying. Can you believe he says, don't worry about food, drink, clothes? I mean, can it get more basic than that? Seriously, seriously, how can I not worry about those things? I mean, really? I don't need a red Ferrari, but I need these things. I need them. How can you say, don't worry about it? Who will give them to me then? See, when you're a child, do you know why you got no worries? Because mummy and daddy will give them to you. Which child grows up worrying about food and clothing, right? Mummy and daddy, you know, that endless bank. It's no worries. But when I become an adult, now I must take care of myself. I better set about building my kingdom. So inside, I can be safe. The moment you embark on that venture, you open the door to worry. What does Jesus say? What's the antidote then? I must have those things. So how can I not worry about them? Here's what Jesus says in response. The kingdom of God produces warriors. Instead, says Jesus, Focus on your Father's care and provision. Turn your eyes on Him. Focus not on your kingdom, but on Him, your Father's care and provision. Look with me from verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, tomorrow is thrown into fire, oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we eat? The Gentiles seek after these things. Notice the word seek. The Gentiles seek after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Focus on your heavenly Father, says Jesus. When you worry, even about basic things, Jesus says, you're being an atheist. Because an atheist should worry. Think about it with me. You're acting as if you don't have a father. You're acting as if you're all alone in the universe. When the atheist looks at the universe, what does the atheist see? The universe doesn't give a damn. The universe doesn't care for me. There's nothing out there. It's blind. It's heartless fate. DNA doesn't care. I'm all alone in the universe. Nobody loves me. No one's looking out for me. I must fight for survival. Jesus says, that's what you do, Christian, when you worry. It's what Adam and Eve did. What was the great sin of Adam and Eve? What did they do? Fundamentally, what did Adam and Eve do? Wow. Look what God did. Gave them, talk about red Ferraris. God gave them food, clothing, but it wasn't all brown and it wasn't all water. He gave them everything desirable, pleasant, good for the eye, good for food. And they decided, I think we should reach out and get it for ourselves. Let's not look to God to give to us. Let's go take for ourselves. And they erected their own kingdom and they became masters of their own kingdom. And the result is now, by the sweat of your brow, you will get your food. You might as well sew fig leaves together because you've got to make your own clothes. You want to be independent? You want to be independent? Time to start worrying. Living life independently of God is a recipe for stress and anxiety. Don't you love it when the 18-year-old leaves home starry-eyed, full of adventure? Don't you love it? Freedom, no worries, towels on the floor, dishes unwashed, empty pizza boxes yay high under the bed, and it's awesome. Freedom. And then, rent is due. Can you believe that? Ooh, this is starting to get more expensive than I thought. There's no more fridge benefits like there was at home. There's nothing to wear. Oh my goodness, my clothes used to magically appear in my cupboard. And now they're gone. I've worn the same jeans for a month. In fact, when I take them off, they stand by themselves, you know? I open my fridge and it's like an ecosystem. There's so many living things in it. So much life. Life independently of a loving home is full of worries. So Christian, why are you acting like an 18-year-old running from your Father's loving care, thinking, you got to do it for yourself. Your father says, come back home and stop your worry. Your father feeds birds. Look at verse 26. Look at what Jesus says in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Imagine you wake up one morning and all the birds in your whole neighborhood are dead. All of them lying on the floor. And God wakes up, oh, I beg you, I forgot. Do you think that'll ever happen? I've got a labradoodle. I am a father. I am a father. I have a labradoodle which I feed. Half of it he vomits on the floor. The other half he poos in the most inconvenient places. But I have never forgotten to feed this useless thing. Imagine if my child comes home. I feed my labradoodle, but my own children come home. And I forget. And I won't, you know, go find your own food. And yet that's how you and I treat our Father when we worry. He has not forgotten you. He can't. Focus on your Father's care and provision. The kingdom of self produces worriers who worry about this physical life. You, in the kingdom of God, focus on your Father's care and provision. But secondly, this is going to surprise you. Do you feel like a surprise? You're going to die anyway. That's what Jesus says. Secondly, focus on eternal life because you're going to die anyway, says Jesus. Look with me at verse 25. Very interesting. Look at the end of verse 25. Look what he says. Don't worry about your food and your drink and your body and what you're going to put on. Now, here's an incredible phrase. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? What does Jesus say? Life is not just physical. If you focus on physical, boy, are you going to worry. If you're here this morning, and you are committed to philosophical atheism. In other words, you're here this morning, you believe physics is all there is. The only thing in the universe is matter. If that's you, and there is nothing beyond the physical world, boy, you should be worried. You've got so much. Can I ask you a serious question? Why aren't you wrapped in bubble wrap? Why don't you wear bubble wrap all day? Because all your treasure is here. It's sitting right there. And you brought your whole treasure here this morning? That's risky. On the Mitchell Freeway. Oh, wow. Because if physical is all you have, that's all your treasure. Nobody gets out of this alive. Have you got that? Nobody gets out of this alive. You are going to lose all your treasure. If I was you, I would worry more. But Christian, Jesus says to you, the life is more than the body. The life is more than that. Christian, you've got no worries because you can only die. Did you hear that? Christian, you've got no worries at all because you can only die. This is not your treasure. I know some of you are looking at me and saying it's easy for you to say, but this is not your treasure. So don't worry about it. Worry doesn't work. Look at what Jesus says. Death is coming. Verse 27. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Jesus says death is coming. You're going to die. So why worry? Worry will not add, in fact, now we know scientifically, worry will actually take an hour off your life. So instead, says Jesus, Focus on that life. Put your treasure in that life. Focus on eternal life. Actually, more. Jesus says, focus on glory. That's the next thing. The kingdom of God produces warriors. We don't just focus on eternal life. We focus on glory. Look at this. Look at this carefully. Jesus is amazing. Look at verse 28. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not as glorious like one of these. And if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? What's Jesus saying? He picks glorious things, incredible flowers. Okay, here's a game. Let's play a game. Everyone, think carefully. What's the difference between a rich man and a rose? What's the difference between a rich man and a rose? The answer is, one of them worries more. It's the only difference. Because both are going to be compassed. Both are going to be, well, as Jesus says, thrown into the oven. One will take a bit longer. But both will end up exactly the same. You walk through a forest. You will not know if a rose died there or if a rich man died there. You will not know. There's no difference. So, says Jesus, focus on glory. Look what he says in verse 29 again. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, today's alive, tomorrow's thrown in the fire. Look at this. Will he not much more clothe you? Everybody, God intends you to be clothed with glory. God intends you to be clothed with glory. Here's the thing. Your father's not interested in your survival. Your father is interested in your beauty, in your glory. God is interested in making you radiant and like the flowers, like Solomon, says Jesus. The creator of this universe is not just into survival. And Jesus says, look at the flowers for proof. Come to Dwayne's house. My son is into tropical fish. Do you all know what the cheapest fish is? Cheapest fish you can buy. Random, common thing. You can find them everywhere. And they're so hardy, I think they'll live in your bath. It's called a guppy. Have you seen a guppy? Have you seen a guppy? Have you seen a guppy? Oh, my, this useless, random, cheap, common fish. And you go close. The colors are outrageous. Every single one of them are different. The colors are stupefying. They are brilliant. It's a motley array of dazzling patterns on this tail that goes. It is absolutely extraordinary. And you know what that's for? Nothing. Nothing. They don't pick the prettiest ones to breed with. It's useless. It's your father saying, I'm not interested in just survival. I love beauty. Your father loves beauty. Look at the flowers. Look at the world around you. And it's the same for you. God is not interested in your survival. God has got your glory in mind. He's got your beauty in mind. And when it's tough down here and you're sweating it out, you need to understand your father is working on your glory forever, not here. Here I am down below. I've got a chronic sickness. My back is killing me. I feel horrible. Your father is working on your forever glory, O you of little faith. You're looking here. The Gentiles look here. Look at verse 32. The Gentiles seek after the thing. They need their beauty here. Have you watched how movie stars get uglier and uglier? And not because of natural age, because of increasing in plastic. When are they going to decide this is an environmental hazard? Because they only have beauty here. For the Christian, my beauty is there. Everybody, look again at verse 30. Jesus makes an unconditional promise. Will he not much more clothe you? Christian, your Father is going to clothe you with glory. He will clothe you with glory. Not here. Let me show it to you. And I think we need to take a bit of time here. Look at this. Here is a verse in the Bible. Paul is contrasting this body with that body. Look at what he says. There are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is of one kind. And the glory of the earthly is of another kind. There's, just like there's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. And another glory of the stars. Star differs from star in glory, right? So the earthly body is different to the heavenly body. Now watch this. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, silly, there is also a spiritual body. Now look at this again. What's he doing? He's telling you this can't be your treasure. Because what he's saying this body is, look at all the words, perishable, dishonorable, weak, natural. And Jesus says, God's going to clothe you. He's going to clothe you, well, look at it, with imperishable, with glory, with power, with spiritual. There's a guy in our church called Dave Kearns. He runs a gym called Design Your Physique. At this church, we're in the same business. We're also designing your physique. But it's not this one. It's that one. The glorious one that'll last forever. So look at what Paul says. He carries on. I tell you this, brothers. Stop worrying about flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. God's going to clothe you. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, look what will happen. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and God will clothe us, and we shall all be changed. For the perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. This is what Christians long for. This is seeking the kingdom of God. This is putting our treasure there. In fact, look what Paul says. Let's just close it off. 1 Corinthians 5, for in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed putting it on, we may not be found naked. See, when God says, I'm going to clothe you, don't think Gucci because you're back in the wrong kingdom. He's talking about that. For while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would further clothed. And so what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Dwayne, this sounds awesome. This sounds amazing. How do I know it's true? Because I'm worried. I found something else to worry about. How can I believe this? How can I look forward and believe it? Here, I'll tell you. Look backwards. Look at what God did in Jesus. God clothed Jesus. Jesus came in a weak body. Jesus came in a perishable body. Jesus came in a body that was naked. He hung up there with nothing on, dishonorable. He was crucified, dead, and buried. How did he cope? If I was Jesus, I'd have lots of worries. He looked forward to the joy that was set before him. And 3 days later, his Father clothed him. The Father raised him to life and gave him a spiritual body, an imperishable body, a powerful body, an honorable body, healed, restored, glorious. If you're a real Christian here today, your Father is going to do to you what he did to Jesus. He's going to clothe you like Jesus promises in glory. Forever. And so let these words sink in, church. Verse 31, therefore, don't be anxious. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What? Stop being anxious about feeding this thing. Look to your Father. The kingdom of self produces those who worry about this physical life. The kingdom of God produces warriors who focus on the Father's care and provision, focus on eternal life, focus on glory. And lastly, the kingdom of self produces, have a look at this, those who worry about tomorrow. Of course you're going to have to worry about tomorrow. Look at verse 24. Sorry, 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If you are into the kingdom of Perth or the kingdom of self, boy, should you worry about tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? Do you know? I think it's so frightening. Tomorrow is a source of anxiety. The future is uncertain. Even the world knows this. Do you all know what mindfulness is? What is mindfulness? It's a coping mechanism. It's a way of not thinking about tomorrow. Because it's scary. Feel the present. Be in the moment. Follow Yoda. Remember what Yoda said to Luke Skywalker? You're always in the distant, looking to the future, not in the present, mindful you are. Which is why you can't pick up stones with your brain. But that's another subject. But if you're a child of God here this morning, your tomorrow's sorted. You know this. You've just seen it. Your tomorrow is sorted. And so what can you do? And that's the last thing. You, thanks Cam, can focus on today. Why? Because tomorrow's sorted. Sorted. He's got it all in his hand. Christians know with absolute certainty their future is sorted. It's in your loving Father's hands. And so Jesus says, focus on today. Here's the bottom line for this morning. It's up there on the screen. Thanks Cam. Seek first the kingdom of God today. All these other things will be added to you. Don't worry about them. Let me close with an illustration. Let's play a game. That's a hard one. Let's say I'm Dwayne. I'm going to die tomorrow. 36 minutes past 2 tomorrow. I'm going to die. What I'm going to go down the Mitchell Freeway. There's going to be a trailer in front of me. The trailer's going to come off. It's going to swerve. I see it because I'm a very good driver. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to swerve, but there's a truck behind me. He can't turn as fast. He hits me, crushes me into the barrier, and I'm crushed and I die. Does anyone think that's far-fetched? You know that could happen, right? That's very real, right? So I'm going to die tomorrow. I've got two choices today. One, I can worry about it. So I'm not going down the Mitchell Freeway. Never again, not after what you said in that sermon. That's my one choice. My other choice is I can leave it to my Father. He rules over everything. He has promised he will clothe me in glory. He has promised to provide my needs. He has promised paradise. Glory awaits me. How? I don't know. When? I don't know. But I'm pretending I know it's at 2:36 tomorrow. So here's how I should live today. Are you ready? I'm going to focus on the kingdom of God today. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to love people today as if it's the last day of my life. Because tomorrow I'm going to die. Do you know that I might even phone my parents? Oh, I only got one left. And tell them about Jesus? Because tomorrow I'm going to die. So I'm going to phone them. I'm going to say, Dad, I want to tell you again, Jesus loves you. I'm going to do that. Why are you going to do that? Because tomorrow I'm going to die. So I better do it today. I'm focusing on the kingdom today. I'm going to love people. I saw a fellow sitting there, just jumped into my head. There he sits. I'm going to hug him. And I'll say, brother, I love you, man. Why? Because I know I'm dying tomorrow. So I better do it today, right? I'm going to pray. You should see my quiet time today. Because it's coming 2:36 tomorrow. Better have a quiet time today. I want to be right with God now. I want to pray now. Father, I want to see you. So forgive me. I'm going to pray as if it's the last day on earth. I'm going to forgive people who've sinned against me. 2:36 tomorrow, I'm meeting God. But I'm not for the rest of my life. I'm not going to. But I don't have a rest of my life. I forgive you, okay? I'm going to forgive as if it's the last day on earth. I'm going to take my money. You should see my super. 2:36 tomorrow. It don't really matter, I guess. I'm going to use my money, my possessions, as if it was my last day on earth. I'm going to invest in the king. All of that because I know I'm going to die tomorrow. The truth is you don't know. But, says Jesus, focus on today because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Live for the kingdom today. Love for the kingdom today. Fight for the kingdom today. And let tomorrow take care of itself. Let's pray. Why don't you tell the truth? Why don't you tell the truth? Tell your father you have done him wrong by worrying. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to help you immigrate from the kingdom of self to the kingdom of God. There's an old Jim Reeves song. Yesterday is gone, sweet Jesus. Tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Lord Jesus, wean us off this Western preoccupation with control. We think we have to control things. And so we worry. Help us to repent. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God. And not secondly these other things. But as we seek only the kingdom of God, these other things will be added to us. You are a good Father, thank you. Amen.